Hey guys, this is Monica, and you are listening to the Mind Gal podcast, the show all about overcoming obstacles that stand in the way of living a life of purpose. You can find me at mindgal.com, which is a blog where I write all about anxiety, panic attacks, and any of life's hurdles. You can also find a bunch of resources there that you can use right now to help you overcome your own anxiety and obstacles. Follow me on Twitter at mindgal_ and on Instagram at mindgal01. If you like what you hear on this show, be sure to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. Okay, now let's get on with the show and take a look at how you can get in front of all of the things that are holding you back. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mind Gal. I'm Monica, your host. I hope everyone had a great week. I have to say that it was a little bit challenging for me last week because I don't know what I did. I must have slept wrong on my neck or my shoulder, but I woke up on Sunday morning and could not feel my whole right arm. I couldn't move at all. I didn't know what it was, and I ended up having to go get a massage, which I know, like, poor me, I had to get a massage. But actually, I don't really like massages. They're a little bit uncomfortable for me, so I was a little bit hesitant to go. But I did go, and I had to go twice during 1 week to get it worked out. But it was excruciatingly painful. And at one time, it hurt so bad that I got myself all worked up into this anxiety spin, and my face started to get numb, and I couldn't feel my lips. And my friends were checking in on me, and it was kind of ridiculously humorous, I guess, and funny, not funny kind of way. But it was interesting because it was a reminder to me that my body was telling me that I needed to slow down. I have a lot of things going on right now, and all of them I really like and I'm passionate about, but I need to take it more slowly than what I'm taking it, because I tend to put a lot of pressure on myself. And when I don't meet a certain expectation that I have for myself, then anxiety starts to happen for me. And I didn't even realize that it was this bad until I couldn't move my arm. And so that was kind of ridiculous. So that happened all last week. And just a couple days ago is when I started to feel a little bit better. Now I have motion and movement in my arm. So that's my sob story for the week, which is kind of ridiculous. But I wanted to talk a little bit today about change and why we are so adamant to resist it. Because we know that change can be both good and bad, but it's always interesting to me that I think that we hear what people fear the most is public speaking and death, and I think the third would be change. People say, well, I've heard it say, you know, I'd rather have the devil I know than the devil I don't know. Which is always kind of interesting to me, because I think that says more about you than it does about the actual event. Because I don't ever really want any devil around me at all. So if change requires me to get outside of that comfort zone, but it also means that it might make it better, then for me, it's a little bit easier. But it's still very hard to resist staying the same. So it kind of makes me think about anxiety being like our frenemy. And if you read the blog post that I had this week, you know that it was about anxiety as your frenemy and why we keep it around and ways that we need to let go. So you can go read that post on the MindGal website, mindgal.com, and I'll post an article with that here on the show notes as well, if you go to the show notes for this episode. But in any case, we all have that friend that we keep around because, I don't know, we might have history with them. I know that for me, I've kept friends around before that you outgrow each other. And I don't really mean that in a bad way at all. I think that sometimes people just grow apart. There's nothing wrong with either person. They just grow apart. And then there's the friends that become toxic. And they are the people that are smiling to your face and stabbing you behind the back. When they talk to other people, they don't talk very nicely about you. So those are what we refer to as frenemy. But we keep them around because we have a history with them. And they're comfortable. They're a part of how we grew up. They're a part of our story and they help to define who we are. And I got to thinking about that. And I think that's kind of like anxiety. Anxiety is the frenemy that we cannot live without, but we need to break up with. I don't think that there's anybody that will think that anxiety, they're happy to have it. Nobody's going to admit that out loud, but let's think about it for a minute. Sometimes people are not trying to do anything to stop their anxiety. I don't think that this is because of a lack of want. I don't think anybody's comfortable being anxious. But I think that there's an element of comfort in the knowing that it's there. Because remember that anxiety breeds on fear and the fear of not having control. So it's such an ironic thing to me because anxiety doesn't make it easy really to live your life at all because it makes you feel out of control when you're in it. It's kind of like you're, if you have it there at your side, then it is also predictable. You know when it's going to come up sometimes. You don't always know how you're going to deal with it, but you know that it's there. If you deal with anxiety, chances are you've always had some level of anxiety all of your life, and it might have progressed into a full-on anxiety disorder, or maybe it's a specific phobia of some sort, like a social anxiety or OCD or perfectionism or something along those lines. But all of that is anxiety. They're just different branches of the tree of anxiety. I've always had anxiety in my life. What's funny is that I remember once, gosh, I was in elementary school and it was the last day of third grade. I remember I was in my bedroom and I was getting ready to go to bed and I had a really comfortable silky blue comforter. And I just remember so vividly laying in the bed. And I was looking at the ceiling and my thought, and I kid you not, my thought was, I don't have anything to worry about now that school's out for the summer. And I started to think about what I could worry about. I'm not even joking. So worry to me has always been like my right arm. It's something that I carried around with me all the time. And when I wasn't feeling anxious and I didn't feel worry, then I really kind of felt unsettled. Even in third grade, I was thinking, what can I worry about? Because I really didn't feel human unless I was worried about something because it was always such a big thing for me to be anxious. And as I grow older, I look back on that because I remember it so, so vividly. And, you know, as an adult woman now, I think how crazy that I was thinking that. But it's not really crazy. It makes sense when you think about it. We want the things around us that make us feel human, that make us feel somehow valid. And for me, that anxiety made me feel like I was alive. You know, sometimes people will cut, and we know that cutting is a way to deal with anxiety, and people do it for different reasons, but one of the reasons that people cut is because they want to feel like they're alive. They want to feel like they're there, and they want to drown the pain somehow. There's a variety of reasons, but that is one of them. For me, that anxious feeling was something that made me feel I existed somehow, which is weird when you say it out loud, but I think that people who struggle with anxiety can really identify with that. So then as an adult, I'm here and I'm an anxious person. In my early 30s, I was diagnosed with a generalized anxiety disorder, which is so much fun because when people see a little tiny hole, I see a gigantic black hole somewhere that I'm just going to fall into. And so I make things so much bigger than that they are in my head. And I'm always worried that I'm not going to be able to control whatever is in front of me. So I try to control a lot of the things around me. But my mode of operandi has always been, okay, I'm going to go into a situation. I know I'm going to feel anxious. I know I'm going to be afraid. So what can I do to control that situation? And I kind of equated that success that I've had in life, just generally, anxiety helping me with that. And it didn't. It's actually probably held me back because anxiety makes you run from fear, right? And if we're always running away from fear, we're never really running toward success. So in what I was doing, and I think what a lot of people do, is we start to think about ways that we can control the environment around us. And we label it as, oh, I'm going to be anxious, so I need to make sure that I'm in control. So then we start to think, well, I need anxiety around me. We don't need anxiety around us. We need to just believe in ourselves. So we need to change our mindset, which is really, really hard to do. And that's one of the reasons, or that's one of the ways that we break up with our frenemy of anxiety, is we have to change how we view it. It is not something that is serving us. It's not something that's going to make us stronger. We need to remember that we are not anxious people. We are people who are anxious. That distinction is super important because we are people first, not anxiety first. So when we're thinking about anxiety as it's something that I need, then our mindset starts to look for ways that we can make that come to life. Instead, if we change our mindset as to, well, anxiety is something that I might live with right now, but I have tools that I can make go away. Maybe I won't ever completely get rid of it, but I can make it subside a little bit so that it will not control me anymore. Because nobody wants to be that person looking for things to worry about like I did when I was in third grade. I also think it's really important to get out in front of it and own your anxiety. Anxiety lives in the crevices of our fears, right? Our innermost fears. And so what we want to do is we want to run away from them by any means necessary. But when we're running away, we're not attacking the problem. And when we're trying to pretend it doesn't exist, we're actually giving it more life. I think what needs to happen is that we need to start giving anxiety life and we need to start talking about it more. Giving anxiety a name, letting yourself feel it as it comes all through your body. Notice what tensions it's causing to your muscles. Notice the messages that you're sending to yourself when you're in the throes of it. Invite it in and tell it, bring it on. Give me everything that you got. Let yourself feel its presence so that it can go through you and let it go. It's not as easy as I just described it being, and it takes practice and you have to do it over and over again. I think that we're all works in progress. I'm not going to be somebody who is ever going to profess to have it all together, but anxiety is something that I struggle with and something that I think is such a huge epidemic right now. Working in a high school, I just see it getting worse and worse over the years because of these stories that we're telling ourselves about what success looks like. What do I need to be to make other people see me? And you know what's interesting is that I think that as humans, we tend to think, oh, everyone just wants to be seen. I don't think that's true. I think I'm going to challenge that a little bit. I think that people want to be valid more so than they want to be seen. So we can go around and put on a good front and a good show and so that everyone around us can see that we have it all together. But if we don't ever take the time to think about the reasons that we don't have it all together, we're never going to feel valid. Because validity, that comes from within. Anybody can pretend to be somebody so that other people can give them accolades. And I think that's where we get an anxiety on the rise and perfectionism on the rise as well, is that we try to keep up appearances. What would happen if we just took off the mask though? Be who we really are. It's so interesting to me that we're so afraid to be who we are and be genuine. The more people that I talk to, the more I realize that more people are like me than not. But we don't talk about it. We only talk about where all of my successes are. We talk about our kids and everything that they've done. And I hate Facebook for this reason. We've heard it said, like, we compare our behind the scenes to everybody's highlight reels. And that is so true of social media. And I've often said that I wish that people would start talking more about what it is really like to be a parent, because it's not as easy as Facebook would have you believe, because we're only seeing all the times that the kids won and all the successes that they've had and all the straight A's that they've had and the colleges that they got into and all the friends that they have. And I think that we do that because maybe of our own insecurities. Maybe we feel like we're in competition with other parents somehow. I mean, I think that's another episode altogether, especially with moms. But I wish that people would be real and post about, this is the temper tantrum my kid had. I wanted him to wear shoes because it was snowing outside, so he had a temper tantrum. Or I simply said, go brush your teeth, and suddenly he is screaming all over the place. Things like that are real, that everybody can attest to and everybody can everybody can relate to. But we don't talk about those things. We don't talk about things that people can relate to. And I think that's why anxiety is even worse. Because there's an anxiety disorder that when you have an anxiety disorder, this is something that you just deal with, that you always have. You're probably born with it. Society and situations can make it worse and it can trigger it. It might be because you're comparing yourself too much. I bet you if you took a break from social media or a break just simply from comparison, you might find that you'll feel a lot better. Because I know myself, I mean, I don't really know what it is just to have anxiety because I actually am diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. But I think that it might be a little bit more controllable. For me, I know that when I'm not placing myself in front of everybody's highlights, that I tend to feel a little bit better about my life. I tend to feel a little bit better about everything around me. I tend to relax a little bit more. I surround myself with friends that get who I am. They know who I am as a person. They know who I am as a parent. They know me. They know my kid. They're non-judgmental. And they tell me about their failures. And I tell them about mine. And there's no judgment there. And those are the people that I need to be around. Because those are the people that are going to empower me. And those are the people that I want to empower. Anxiety doesn't empower me. Anxiety doesn't empower you. You need to know when it's time to break up with it. Just like you need to know when it's time to break up with that friend that is going to smile at your face and talk about you behind your back. If you're looking for some resources that can help you, I really recommend Panic Away. I use it myself. It's a great resource for dealing with anxiety and periodic articles that I really like. I think they're super helpful. That you can read about different elements of anxiety and maybe what you can do to help with it. But in addition to that, you get an audio. And I really like the audio because I can listen to it in my car and it's not long. Like some of them are like 10 minutes long. And they're just reminding you of, first of all, like they're reminding you to breathe. They're reminding you techniques to calm yourself. But they're also helping you combat that thought process that you have that is causing the anxiety in the first place. And I really like it. It's been one of the better things that I have invested in. It's not really that much money at all, but if you're interested, I'll put it in the show links, and it's also on my resource page at mindgal.com. There's also a lot of books that I really like, and I've read them and think that they're empowering, and there's a couple other audio and resources there that I really recommend that can really help you. I've tried them all and I like them all. You can look at what works best for you. So I really hope that you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Mind Gal. And if you like what you hear, please give us a 5-star rating and write a comment, share with your friends, and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new episode that comes out every Thursday. Let's see, what else is there? I don't know. I invite you to come to my webpage, mindgal.com. There's additional resources on there, and there's a bunch of articles about anxiety, panic attacks, perfectionism, anything really that has to do with overcoming obstacles you'll find there. There will be events and promotions and other things that I will be promoting that if you sign up and subscribe to the website that you will be first to be notified about, which is pretty exciting. If you want to get a hold of me, you can do that at monica@mindgal.com, and I will reply to any comments personally that I might receive. So until next time, I hope that everyone finds time for yourself to unwind and to reflect. Have a great one, everyone.